We head now to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. And friend of the show, Greg Wyshynski, kind enough to join us as we talk hockey on your home of the Blues. Greg, with Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji, this is Randy Carricker. Thanks for taking some time. How you doing?
My pleasure. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm over in the Bay Area. We've been dealing with this stuff for a bit over here. And I think our toilet paper started disappearing at the end of February.
Yeah,
it's been good. Been real busy. It kind of reminds me of covering those lockouts. You know, when there's no games to cover, but you feel like you're spending so much time catching up with people and writing about what could happen and things of that nature. And then on top of that, I mean, you have all this uncertainty in society as a whole that goes into every decision the league is going to make as well. So it's been a busy time for sure.
And as you wrote about today, when we had lockouts, at least junior programs were playing and we had an idea about the draft. Now this draft has a chance just to be really chaotic.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. I mean, one of the ideas the National Hockey League is floating as a trial balloon to its general managers and teams is the idea of doing the draft in June as scheduled, but doing it at a time where the season wouldn't be complete when they do the draft. So, you know, there's some virtue to that. As I wrote about today on ESPN, the idea that if you draft a kid from Europe, for example, if you do that in June, you could maybe get him signed and in your organization so you can start the development process. If the draft is held in September, he might already be committed to his European team for next season. There's a lot of reasons to do it in June, but there's so many reasons not to do it before the end of the season. I mean, you're talking about how you do the seeding for the top picks with the lottery. You're talking about the inability of teams to make player trades at the draft, which is such an essential part of not only its functionality, but the entertainment portion of the draft. And frankly, if the salary cap is going to be flat, which we kind of all expect next season, the draft is obviously a place where you send your high-priced player along with a draft pick and get them off your roster. So there's so many things that we'd be losing if we do the draft in June as the NHL is starting to explore.
It's going to be interesting for sure. Hey, Greg, I'm looking at this, and we were just talking about all the contingency plans that are out there and the sites that potentially might end up working. My question to you is, we all know we want hockey and don't care, you know, where it is, what it looks like. But my question is it worth, in your opinion, trying to finish the regular season? Or would it make sense just to jump right to the postseason?
Oh, I've advocated for weeks that we shouldn't play a single regular season game the rest of the way. Now, I'm saying that not knowing if there's some nuance in the NHL television contracts with NBC and with Rogers in Canada that says they have to have all 31 teams playing or they have to complete the regular season, because at the end of the day, money is driving a lot of these decisions. And Gary Bettman said yesterday that, you know, if they have to cancel the playoffs, for example, that's going to be money off the revenue they'd get from TV next season. They're going to have to kind of give it back within credits. So it's easy for me to sit here and say, don't play the regular season, but there might be contractual reasons why they have to. Now, that being said, cancel the regular season. I mean, the idea you're going to force a member of the Detroit Red Wings, one of the epically worst teams in hockey history, to come back and play a few games just so the Islanders can make sure that they have as many games as the Penguins. Who cares, right? And then on top of that, there's a functional reason why the regular season should be canceled. There are a few teams that have vowed to pay their game night work staff. The part-time workers, the concessions people, Zamboni drivers, people like that, they will pay those people when the games are canceled. If they're postponed, they don't get their money. So cancel the games, get those people their money. And then as anybody who has a ticket to a hockey game, a concert, anything else knows, you only get your money back when the games are canceled. Right now they're postponed. So all the fans that have money tied up in those tickets that could probably use those bucks right now won't get them back if the games are canceled. So just cancel them. Expand the playoffs, and let's not keep the charade going like we're going to play regular season games.
ESPN's Greg Wyshynski with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. You can't imagine the glee you just gave thousands of Blues fans when you said that the Detroit Red Wings this year were one of the epically worst teams in the history of hockey. For as much as just total despair as the Wings have given us over the years, to hear that is really good, especially when you say Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues in the same breath.
Exactly. Yeah, the Red Wings, to their credit, tried to be as bad as they could. They're in a full rebuild. Steve Yzerman, their general manager, said it's going to be a multi-year process and a lot of pain to get back to where they want to be as an organization. But, I mean, they were horrible. I mean, Jimmy Howard's a good guy, but his one loss record this year is one for the ages. I think he might be like 2-20 or something like that. So in the big picture, the idea that you're gonna have non-playoff teams like the Red Wings or the Senators or any of the California teams come back and play games when there's just no reason to. I mean, you already had Drew Doughty of the LA Kings thinking that they're not going to come back and saying that he didn't really want to come back and play. Brendan Gallagher of the Montreal Canadiens today on a conference call apparently said, he didn't think that they should come back and play the regular season. Let that be for the playoff teams. So it's just hard to wrap your brain around these guys putting themselves in harm's way and putting their families in harm's way potentially to just come back and play some, playing out the string meaningless games. The counter argument from the owners would be, well, they've already been paid for them, which is true. Yep. They're still trying to figure out what to do with their last paycheck. Technically, they have been paid for it. But there's a lot of ancillary stuff as far as player safety and health that goes into these decisions beyond the money aspect of it.
Yeah, so that's why moving forward into whether it's the end of the regular season or it's just straight into the Stanley Cup playoffs, there's a ton of uncertainty here still. A lot of states are trying to reopen as best they can. We'll see if businesses decide to follow. I mean, there are a lot of complications here with trying to start back everything, trying to start up everything again. What do you get the sense from the league, from Bettman, from the NHL generally, and from teams that there's a level of confidence they can actually do something here safely within the next couple of months? Because from my perspective, I don't know about anything. Like, I don't know how we're safely able to do anything here in the next several weeks.
No, that's a good point. And I think the word would probably be more optimism than confidence, right? I don't think anybody could be confident about anything at this point in time, at least until, there's a vaccine available, let's say. And then maybe we can start using the word confident a little bit more. But here's the thing with the NHL. We've spoken extensively at ESPN to both sides, the NHL and the NHLPA. It's clear that the union wants some level of testing in order for the players to feel safe. It's clear that if they do come back under this current plan where they might be playing in four different areas in sort of sequestered, hermetically sealed hotels and arenas, it's clear that the safety aspect of this is going to be paramount, right? So no matter what the NHL wants to do with its season, the NHLPA has to sign off on it. I will say this. I spoke to John Chayka, the general manager of the Arizona Coyotes, for a story this week. He has been in conversation with executives over in Europe for some of these soccer leagues that are starting to reopen. And one thing to keep a very close eye on is how these teams reconfigure their training facilities. For example, we think about like opening up the gym at the practice rink, right? Well, you've got to kind of create more airflow now to make sure the virus doesn't linger there. You've got to create ways for the players to walk around and maneuver where they're not going to be in close contact with other people. There's a lot of these sort of logistic little tweaks that are going to happen, not only for training facilities, but the arenas themselves, if they start playing games there, that we can't even wrap our brains around yet. But the leagues that are starting to open up in Europe, I think, are going to kind of give us maybe a hint at what teams are thinking about doing insofar as insulating their players from infection as best they can.
Hey, Greg, I know you kind of alluded to this a little bit, but it's kind of funny because baseball-wise, we've at least heard from some of the game's biggest stars, and they've talked about their feelings, whether they're pro idea of go play in Arizona and be quarantined for 4 months. Mike Trout said, no, I'm having a kid in August. I'm not going to be quarantined without my family. I haven't heard much from specific hockey players. I mean, what are the guys thinking about all of these plans?
Well, there's a few thoughts. I mean, by and large, a lot of them want to come back and play, especially the guys that are on playoff teams. These are guys that put themselves in harm's way every time they play a game, right? Like they're basically putting their health on the line where, 82 times a season they might get elbowed in the head. And so there's a mindset there of kind of pushing through this stuff. Now, this is unprecedented stuff, though. I mean, you can't like come home and give your wife a concussion because you sneezed on her, right? But you can give her coronavirus, right? So, like, I think that there's going to be a different mindset for a lot of guys. Two things that we know for sure. The players want there to be a large training camp portion before they come back and play, maybe even 3 weeks. They've been able to work out at home. They've been able to kind of keep their cardio up, but getting on the ice and actually skating is something that nobody in the U.S. has really been able to do. There are some guys in Sweden, they've been able to do it, but here in the U.S., they've not been on the ice. And so, you know, basketball guys can train in their backyards. Hockey guys really can't have the same experience, even if they have rollerblades. So we're going to have a long training camp period. The other aspect of it is, if there are players that don't want to come back, if they're saying, look, I'm immunocompromised, or I have people in my family that I'm worried about, I just genuinely don't feel comfortable doing this until we know the disease better or there's some more remedies for it. I asked Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, what if a player says, I don't want to come back? You know, what do you do? And he said, look, if it's a few cases, we'll probably let them stay home. You know, we're going to be sympathetic to these requests. But if it becomes more widespread where you have large groups of NHL players saying, nah, I'm not coming back, I'm too worried about myself and my family, then the league's going to have to really kind of sit down and figure out if it's worth coming back or not.
Finally, Greg, as you talk to people around the league, and you just mentioned that, the league's going to have to decide, but you hear from Gary Bettman, you talk to Bill Daly, you talk to general managers around the league, what's your gut feeling about the NHL being back to finish off this 2020 season?
Well, my gut feeling is that they are going to make every single effort they can to come back. I think that there are some broad sketches of plans that do make sense in the sense of doing the playoffs, expanding the playoffs, bringing some extra teams in, doing it at, you know, a few sites around the country where you can maybe control the environment better. But as optimistic as I can be, as forward-thinking as the league can be in trying to get ready for this, it all comes back down to three things. What are the local and federal governments saying about travel restrictions? Because the borders are closed right now. That's a pretty big deal for hockey. What are they saying about mass gatherings of people? If you can't have, you know, 10, 20, 30 people in a place at one time, then they're not going to be able to do any of this stuff. And what are they saying about essential businesses opening? Because it's a very delicate thing for pro sports and any entertainment venture to look like they're getting exceptions. Like, for example, like bringing guys back from Europe on planes when no one else can fly anywhere. You know, that's something that the NHL simply can't do. That would be a horrible look. So those situations have to resolve themselves before we can even get close to talking about the logistics of things. But, I mean, like we said earlier, optimism prevails right now in the NHL. There's been more of it, I think, in the last week and a half than I think I've heard in a while as far as the possibility of this thing happening in June or July.
Greg Wyshynski, always good to hear your voice. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. Stay safe, and hopefully we will be talking some hockey sooner rather than later.
You got a voice. Thank you very much.
Take care. That is Greg Wyshynski. You can read his great work at ESPN.com. Next up, get your text into the Air Comfort Service text line, 65780. BT Ranj and I will answer your questions with Meet Asking Them next in the Sports Six Pack on 101 ESPN.